We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Today's radio was sponsored by Jim and Joyce Fouts in honor of Amy and Julie's birthday. And now we have a special treat. I want to welcome our own Jim Paffenberger and Mark Smallwood, otherwise known as Proof.
Good morning, everybody.
Proof we still can't sing.
Proof we still can't sing, but proof that God requires availability to be up here, and proof that God has a great sense of humor. In fact, we were going to have, at some point, Mark's grandkids are going to come here and sing with us. Then we'll be known as Proof and Child Proof. But we have selected a song today that is called Kumbaya, and translated, it means come by here. We're going to give a reverse history of the song. We've got time for that, Pastor Angel. It right now, some people may have kind of did that number when I said that, because its popularity in the last 10 years has been used when two sides can't get along. And somebody says, yeah, right. And the next thing you know, we'll be holding hands and singing Kumbaya. But it really is an appeal for God's presence, so keep that in mind. It also then, before that, it was popularized in the 1950s and 60s during the folk revival. But before that, it was recorded by a man named Robert Winslow in 1926. And before that, it was heard during the time of this history, this country, when slaves would sing it on the plantations, specifically in Georgia and South Carolina. Those slaves were also the ones that had come from West Africa. They were truly appealing for God's presence. Oh, they were appealing for God's presence. Sorry about that. And so that's the reverse history, but the roots of this song. And we're going to celebrate that song today by singing it.
Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's laughing, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's laughing, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's laughing, Lord, Kumbaya. Oh, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's crying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's crying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's crying, Lord, Kumbaya. Oh Lord,
Thank you for joining in there. That was precious.
Well, today's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. Okay. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. God's word for God's people.
Praise be to God. I don't know about you all, but that passage gives me hope, and it gives me joy. Not only are all of these trials and tribulations that we experience here on earth just a momentary passing of suffering, not only will we be raised up with Jesus Christ in his glory, but while we are here, we are sons and daughters of the Almighty God, heirs with Christ Jesus, given all of the same blessings that Jesus did. You know, I think a lot of people believe that all the stuff that happened in the Word, in the book of Acts, is gone and long forgotten. Not so. Not so, beloved. Our Lord said, if you believe on me, if you abide in me, even greater works will you do than I did. Today's message is going to help us focus on community, on our responsibility to share Jesus Christ with our community, to raise up disciples of Jesus Christ for the furthering of his kingdom. Because I don't know about y'all, but he tarries because he wants everyone to know him. And I want him to come back. We used to tease my youngest daughter. When we would get someplace, she'd say, are we leaving yet, Mom? And we'd say, when the Spirit moves, Heather, when the Spirit moves. And then we'd tell her, well, unless Jesus comes back before that. She says, Mom, I love Jesus. And I want to go to heaven, but I want to get my driver's license and get married and have kids. Well, she's done all that so Jesus can come back now. The Apostle Paul was a little different than the other apostles. He taught in a different way, but he was definitely an amazing teacher. And he created disciples for the kingdom of Jesus. For instance, Paul never talks about the story of Christmas. He doesn't talk about the shepherds out in the field or the angels or the baby in the manger. He doesn't even talk about Easter, the empty tomb. But he does talk about Christ risen, Christ crucified, and Christ risen. He does talk about that. He might not mention the nails in the flesh. He might not mention the tearing of the veil that brought us into direct relationship with Jesus. But he preaches Christ risen. We proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In fact, Paul doesn't even talk about the day of Pentecost. How dare he? My favorite holiday, the birth of the church. He is just a little bit different than the original disciples, but he does talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. Have you ever really thought about the fact that when Paul was struck on that road to Damascus, here is a man persecuting Christians, sending them to jail, sending them to certain death. But just the minute he was struck blind, he went down and he said, Lord, Lord. He knew who the Lord was. He knew who the Lord was. And the Lord got his attention. I pray, beloved, that it never takes anything like that for the Lord to get our attention. But he's done things like that to me. Maybe not completely blinded me, but he's dropped me to my knees so that he gets my attention and he can speak to me. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received a spirit when he adopted you as his very own. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are children of God. And since we are children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we also must share in his suffering. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. That's some power right there, beloved. That's some power. His spirit joins with our spirit and tells us that we have been grafted into the family of God. Now, the most of you grew up in families that knew that you were loved and that you belonged. I didn't. It literally changed my life when I was adopted into this family. And there are so many out there in our community that feel the same way. I'll never forget, when I worked at First Place in Marion, it was a therapeutic foster home for the worst cases of abuse in Indiana. 500 kids came through there in the 6 years I worked there. The greatest mission that I have ever done was pray with each of those kids. And there were only three out of those 500 that refused to pray with me. But I can remember every year at Christmas time taking between 12 and 17 kids to go and see the manger scene. And do you know how many of those children did not know the story of Christmas? I know that sounds bizarre to us because we're steeped in it. But I believe it. I was 30 years old. I knew that Christ was born into a manger and died on the cross because you see those symbols everywhere. I did not know that he was the Son of God. I did not know that accepting him into my heart would mean forgiveness of my sins. I did not know that he rose again. And there are so many in our community, in our nation, and in our world who do not know the glorious riches of being heirs with Christ Jesus. I would really like to seriously begin working on coming together as a body to pray over where God wants us to partner with him. This book here, Beth has mentioned several times since we came back from annual conference. It's called Open Road. It's about breakthrough prayer. And it is a different form of prayer. Instead of bringing a laundry list to God, or instead of having an acronym, have you all heard that ACTS? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Instead of having that kind of formula for prayer, we leave things wide open for God to create new possibilities, to move in us as a church, to bring us closer to one another so that we can minister to others. Beloved, I know you. I know this congregation. And you do a lot of ministry on your own. I'd kind of like to join you. And I would love for us to partner together with the Holy Spirit to minister to our community. The tagline for annual conference this year was praying forward. I love that. Praying forward, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that prayer is a unique connection between us and the divine. It connects us to God. We are called to pray for one another as well. Our good and mighty God knows when we begin to pray for somebody, what their needs are more deeply than we could ever possibly know. But he calls us to enter into prayer for them. And by praying for them, we get to know them better. We get to understand their likes and dislikes and their needs and their wants better than we could in any other way. We are called to pray it forward. Our conference motto a couple years back was one that I absolutely loved. It was when all this hubba bubba first broke out and the division threatened in our conference. And it was titled, See All the People. And everybody had their guesses on what it was about. But what it was really about was, let's put aside all the stupid division and be who we were called to be. Disciples of Jesus Christ, raising up other disciples. Let us do the main thing. Let us preach the gospel using words when necessary. And they used a unique pattern for that. It was called proclaim. And I kind of lost my notes here. But proclaim was, first off, praying, and then seeking, which means we have to get outside of the walls of the church to seek people to bring them into the church. It means welcoming people. And this church is extremely welcoming and loving. But part of welcoming, beloved, part of hospitality is giving people place to grow into their own ministry with God. Jimmy and his singing, Tony Ann and her children's message were absolutely fantastic together and enriched our service. We need to help the people who come in these doors find their own place and be able to minister on their own. See All the People was a movement of the United Methodist Church. Making sure that disciples was the first and most important thing. Reaching out to people who feel unseen, who feel unloved. At the time, they went out and passed out water bottles to everybody in the Indianapolis area. I heard that Pastor Mike had you guys go to Suicide Awareness Day and pass out bottles of water, showing people that they were loved. Beloved, we have a mission. The field is ripe. The workers are few. We are called to see all the people. In just a minute, we're going to hear a song by Rich Mullins, or part of it, that talks about seeing all the people. Because one thing Rich Mullins did, he was an extremely humble man. The man made millions. But he turned everything he made over to the elders in his church. They paid him what the average pay for 1 year for a blue-class laborer in the United States was. The rest of his money went to different charities. He got in there, rolled up his sleeves, and got dirty, working in all kinds of missions. He taught in Asia. He went to Africa. He, at the time of this video, was making a video for Compassion International and was working on the Navajo Reservation. I love it because it starts off with the Beatitudes blazing up against the sky and the language of the people that he was working with. The most important thing for you to hear out of this video is that God leads us. That Rich Mullins saw God in everyone he met and everywhere he went.
Cloud by day.
go, we should be able to see God. We should be able to see God in the creation. The Bible says that if we won't speak up for God, even the rocks will cry out. In every person we come in contact with, we should be able to see God in them. No matter what our differences are, each and every one of us, each of us is a child of God, an heir of Jesus Christ. We are called to bring that message through four simple principles: lead, nurture, and send. Lead persons towards a commitment to Christ. Nurture people in living for Christ through worship, through prayer, through coming together as the body of Christ. Because, beloved, it is you. It is not the preacher. It is not the church leaders. It is you who will make the most difference in somebody's life. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're already doing it. I've been talking for more than a year about bringing us together collectively for us to make that move outside the church as one body for Jesus Christ. We are called to send people out into the world to help them develop a ministry of their own, seeking, welcoming, and gathering persons into the body of Christ. Our lives are not our own. We belong to God. We were created in His image, and we were created to worship Him and to partner with Him. If we live in the flesh and we let our differences divide us, how are we any different than the animals? We're not. We are not. We are called to daily crucify our flesh and to take our minds captive to Jesus Christ and to live in the Spirit of the risen Lord. As disciples, Christ followers, we are called to create Bible reading, Christ-like followers of Jesus who seek every day to live their lives as best as possible for Christ. Now, none of us are going to accomplish that all times. We all will fall short of the glory of God, but we are called to live in that. Please join me in praising our God with Rich Mullins, and I pray that you too will vow to follow our Creator step by step, all of your days, in all of your ways.
Oh God, you are my God.
If the ushers would please come forward.